Tonight's scripture reading is 1 John 1, 1 through 7. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Let's pray before we go to God's word together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we sing these songs, we're reminded that we truly have no other stand but on the merits of Christ. And we come on that same merit today. Lord, we know that as we come to you, Lord, we do confess together that we need you. And we need your word, and we need this time together. And so we ask that you would refresh us, renew us, draw us closer to yourself. And as we look at this passage of Scripture together, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word, minister to us by your Spirit, and even as we partake of the supper here in a little bit, Lord, that we would truly be those who would celebrate together the goodness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Some years ago, I took several classes at Ole Miss in the philosophy department, and one of the classes I took was one called a general class on the philosophy of religion, and it's interesting, you know, most of the time when you go to these classes, you're sort of have your defenses up, right? Because you're always going to figure you're probably going to hear something that's probably going to come contrary to what you believe or what you think. But I was actually quite surprised in one of these classes because the topic that we were talking about was, you know, what makes man religious? What is the basis by which he becomes and he practices, and you can talk about it in terms of Christian practices. Why does such a thing as the church exist? And most people would say that, generally speaking, that as humans, we have a desire for community. There's a general desire, a natural instinct, by which we sort of move towards other people that are similar to us. And therefore, that's why communities exist. And that's the general idea when you talk to a person out, in a general sense, why there are such things as clubs, why there are such things as fraternities, why do people get together? And if you talk to most people, that's what people think about the church. When people think, why do churches exist? Why do these things called faith communities? You may have heard that phrase often spoken of in the news and the media. People talk about churches as faith communities, because they are simply places where people who have a similar point of view or a similar love or a similar desire or a similar life experience, similar beliefs, they get together and they have that in common. And therefore, that's why there's such thing as community. Now, if you and I were to hear that, we would say, well, we don't think like that about church. We think there's something different going on. But what is that difference, right? What is it that makes Christian community different? Now, if you look at this text today, you'll notice there is the word that occurs several times. Four times is used, even in the seven verses that we've just read. This word called fellowship. Fellowship. The title of the sermon, the Greek word for that is koinonia.
And most people think of fellowship very much in how most general sociobiologists and people would say. It's just like people getting together, having a, you know, having a good time, socializing. That's what fellowship is. And I've started hearing the word being used outside of the Christian context. And you may have too. People talk about fellowship in a general sense. But if you look at this text today here, you'll notice that there's something more weighty, there's something deeper going on here when the Apostle John uses the word fellowship. He doesn't talk about it in terms, you know, when he started in verse 4, when he says, we have fellowship with one another, and he says, the blood of Jesus cleanses of all our sin. I mean, even if you replace that word with, you know, we have get together with one another, or we socialize with one another, it doesn't work, does it? I mean, that's, even if you were to just do a word swap and try to, read the verses out aloud to you, it doesn't work. That's just something that you lose in that, even in that. But how often do we often kind of make fellowship a lot less than what it really is? And I think it's good for us as we are talking about this today and it's a word that gets often thrown around and often used in our Christian circles, that sometimes we kind of forget, kind of lose what it actually means. What is it? What are we saying when we talk about fellowship? When we talk about koinonia? And I like to suggest to you there are three things very particular, very unique to fellowship, to Christian fellowship, that we see in this chapter, that we see in these verses. First, Christian community is a declaration. Secondly, Christian community is a celebration. And thirdly, Christian community is an invitation. All right? It's a declaration, it's a celebration, and it's an invitation. Now, if you were to look up the word fellowship just in a Bible dictionary, here are the words that I use synonymously, or what fellowship means. It says association. You know, we get that. We are part of things where we are associated with one another. Joint partnership. That's a little bit, that might be different. That's something that we are in it together with. Here's an interesting word. It also can mean intercourse. Now, you don't think about fellowship in terms of intercourse, do you? Right? Because when we talk about fellowship, we often talk about it in terms of large gatherings, but the Bible uses it in a very particular way when it talks about even relationships in terms of familial relationship between a husband and wife. There's a fellowship that we share with our spouses that the Bible's word that's used there, it actually says that we have koinonia, right, in a very particular way. Now, when we are talking about it here, when the Apostle John is talking about it here, and he says that Christian community, first of all, it's a declaration, he begins here in verses 1 and 2 when he starts talking about the incarnate Christ. He's talking about the fact that Christ has truly come in human history. That's why he says that was from the beginning, that we have seen with our eyes, that which we have heard, that we have touched with our hands. What he's trying to communicate all there is that this is first-hand experience for him, right? This is not sort of things that he has heard from another person. No, John was there, right? Jesus hugged him. He saw Jesus. He was both, he saw him and that which he looked at. He saw at him from afar. He was up close and personal. He ate with him. He spent a lot of time with him in his direct presence. He heard, I mean, it was all of these things. What he's trying to communicate is there is a concrete reality to this idea of what does it mean for him to know Christ. It's not something out there, but it's very, very up close and personal. Dietrich Bonhoeffer in one of his books called Life Together, he kind of says that, you know, often there is often a danger of confusing Christian community, true Christian fellowship, with a sort of wishful thinking, with something that we wish was real, you know, sort of this utopic vision. Oh, how great it is when everybody's together. It's sort of, it's really beautiful, you know, it's sort of this, you paint a picture of something that you wish was true. And what John is saying, he says, no, what we are celebrating together, what we are declaring together is real. It's true that Christ has come in human history. You know, when we are sitting together at a meal, or when we are giving each other a hug here in this place, or when we are talking face to face with one another, we're not just talking about something we wish was true. We are declaring something that is real. Just as real as that Christ, the Christ who has come in human history, we are declaring to one another that what we have is real. What we have is true. Right? We're not wishing for something that's future. We're celebrating something. We're declaring together to you and to ourselves that what we have is real. Yesterday, Lindsay and I, we drove down to Laurel for Jonathan Redding's wedding. Right? And every time I go to a wedding, I'm always reminded of this whenever they talk about the exchange of the rings. I'm always, you know, my thoughts always go back to Lindsay's and I's, you know, our wedding, right? And I always share this with people. Like, that wedding day for me was just a complete daze, right? I mean, you kind of go where you're told, you stand where you're told to stand, you do what you're told, you know, right? So, and then at the end of the day, you're like, I try to remember what all the things that happen, and they come in spurts, but it's hard to really remember all of the details. But I always instinctively, whenever they start talking about the rings in the wedding, I always reach for my own wedding band. And you know, I may not remember a lot about that day, on October 1st, 2011, but this always is a concrete reminder of something that was real. It's a sign. It points to that day that when Lindsay and I got married. But sometimes I have to grab hold of it to remind myself, to remember that was real. It's the same way that John is talking about this. He says, you know, John may have been there. He was there in Jesus' presence. He's talking to Christians, some of them who never really laid their eyes on Jesus, who never had firsthand experience of hearing him speak. They never hugged him, right? Because John is talking to Christians who are living after Christ has been resurrected and ascended. But what he's saying is when there are Christians, when there's true fellowship, it declares that when we are in the presence of other believers, that the incarnate Christ, the Christ who came in human history, really did come. That he was real. And we are celebrating something that's real when we are in the presence of other Christians. And we declare that to ourselves and to each other. And that's the reality that we declare. So first, Christian community is a declaration of the reality, the truth of who Christ is. Secondly, Christianity is a celebration. Look in verse 4 where it says that we write this to you, when he's talking about this idea of fellowship with one another and true fellowship with the Father and the Son. And he says, we write this to you to make our joy complete. It's interesting. There's a sense here of where there is even if we have the reality of the truth of who Christ is, there is a sense that our joy is not truly complete until it is found in expression in community with other believers. There is something missing in our experience as Christian believers. That's why Christianity is always deeply personal, but it is never, ever private. Right? We may have deep experiences of when we came to faith. You know, whether we grew up in the church or whether we came to Christ later on, and it might be a deeply personal relationship that we have, but it is never private. It is never one that is always outside of or separated from or segregated from life with other people. And there is a joy that we miss from. The word here is charis, charisma, a true joy that we do not find until we find it in community with other people. There's something missing. Now, when you think about this, you know, in the Old Testament, a great picture is this idea of a meal, right? We talk about the fact that, you know, Christ's presence, you know, we love to eat around here, right? We talk about that all the time, right? But I wonder if you ever thought about this, but meals in the Old Testament have a covenantal significance to them. You know, that's why like in Psalm 16:11, where he says that you will fill me with joy in your presence, right? With eternal pleasures at your right hand. That idea there is someone that you're sitting at a table and you're sitting to the right, and there is true community, there's true there's a covenant fellowship around this table that we're sharing, and there's joy there, right? And so meals in the Old Testament have that. And so, you know, when we talk about, you know, eating together and fellowshipping together around a meal, that's not just, hey, I'm hungry, you're hungry, let's eat together, right? I mean, you know, because that would mean that I'm here for me and you're here for you, and, well, why? What's better than, you know, eating alone, we eat together. Right? That is not what's going on when we talk about a meal in the Old Testament. There is this idea of that that there is a bond that we celebrate and we say, you know what? My joy is not complete until and unless it is a shared meal together. You know, a couple of few weeks ago, we had our Bye Bye Boil. You know, we had it out here. And I always love it when it comes to that, because it's one of those few meals where everybody is eating off a common plate, right? It's like a trough, and everybody's like, you know, got their hands in there. Now, if you, you know, depending on what culture you come from, right? That, you know, and you might go to some restaurants, like there's an Ethiopian restaurant up in Memphis where everybody, you know, where all you get is one platter, and everybody's hands is in there, and you know, for some of us, you say, like, okay, that's just kind of gross, all right? I like my own plate. I like to be able to tell, you know, right? I want to know where the line stops, right? And no one else's hand is in it, right? Right? So, but in some cultures, this idea of a meal, and especially, and that's where the idea in the Old Testament comes from, because we are sharing from a common plate, right? We're eating from a same meal, and there is a trust there, and there is a sharing there, and we're saying that if you are not here, my joy would be lacking. There would be something missing. And one of the things that, you know, I love it when internationals love it, because when they talk about it during the boil and things like that, because there is an abundance there, and it's a shared abundance. Right? It's one that you are able to take liberally and enjoy, and it's something that we are all sharing in it together. There is a celebration, and there is a joy there, and what Apostle John is saying here is saying our joy is complete when that koinonia is something you and I share in together. If not, there is something missing. There is something lacking. Therefore, Christian community is not a declaration of something that's real or that's true. It's a celebration. It's a way we're saying our joy is not complete until it is something that it is shared. And then thirdly, it's an invitation. Look at these verses here where it says, you know, in verse 5, it says, this is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, in him there is no darkness. And then in verses 6 and 7, he says something interesting. He says, if we say we have fellowship, right, and yet walk in the darkness, he said, we lie, right, and do not practice the truth. But he says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin. If there's one thing that makes Christianity unique, the Christian community unique, it is the basis for which we get, why we are in the same place together. You know, most Christian communities asks you to come and says, put your best foot forward, right? And we want people to use their gifts, and we talk about that in terms of church life. But the starting point is one that says, you and I don't have what it takes, that all of us are sinners, and all of us need the cleansing blood of Jesus. If there's anything that makes Christianity unique, it would be that. Because it says to the outside world, only sinners allowed. Because if that is not part of our declaration, the Apostle John is saying, we are lying. We're lying. What makes Christian community unique and says, you know why I want you to be part of my church? It's because you're a sinner and I'm a sinner. In the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 1, this was what God turned to the people of Israel when he says, you are bringing your sacrifices, but you know what? You don't know that you are sick from the sole of your feet to the top of your head. There is no soundness in you. And then there's the invitation, come, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are crimson, they shall be as white as wool. You know, one of the comments on that is, you know, it's like God is saying to his people, he says, you are worse than you think you are. I'm better than you think I am. Let's get together and talk about it. That's Christian community. That's where it starts. That's where Christian fellowship begins. It begins with an invitation from the Lord that we would come before him as we are, right? And that's one of the things that often that we do when we get together in large groups, we tend to hide, right? But the whole point of here in verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light, right? That declares to the world that says that we are not the light. He is the light. And we walk in that. And when we do, it is the blood of his son that cleanses us from every sin. Cleanses us from every sin. Christian community is a declaration of something that's real. We declare to one another the truth of who Jesus is. It's a celebration. It says to one another, my joy is not complete until and unless it's a shared joy. And thirdly, it's an invitation. And it's an invitation that we would come as we are, in our weaknesses, and saying that we are truly a place for sinners. That fellowship is only shared. Fellowship only begins at the place when we truly are, when we truly declare, this is who we are, and this is who Jesus is. That we are sinners and we are in desperate, desperate need of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. Let me close here. Some years ago, I visited, I don't know if I've shared this with you all before, but some years ago, I visited a church in Perth, Australia. This was before Lindsay and I met, and I was looking at possibly going to Australia to serve with an MTW team there that was ministering in Western Australia. You know, if you ever know about Australia, that's probably the little bit more less developed part of Australia, but Perth is the largest city, and there's a church there, a church plant called Church Frio, and I got to know the missionaries at the church. I went there for a vision trip for about 3 weeks, and if you know anything about Australia is there's a lot of hostility, a lot of ambivalence to the Christian gospel. And there's no place where that is more real than in Perth, Australia, right? I remember we we were standing on the edge of the water looking out into the Indian Ocean, right? And yet so far south that if you were to draw a straight line, you would not hit anything until you would hit the southern tip of South Africa, right? I mean, that it's and so there's a sense always when you talk to people there, there is just a sense of just blah, you know? And I remember we were sitting in a Bible study one Wednesday, I think it was a Wednesday night, with the missionary and his family, and the church sits right here. You know, it sits on a sort of the boardwalk, kind of on the Fremantle, kind of out there where the beach is, and we were just we were talking about the Bible, and there was a knock on the door, and a guy, totally random guy, just opened the door and says, "Hey, is this a church? Because I just need prayer." And Chuck was he just put the Bible aside, like, "Yeah, man, come on in," right? And he just sat down, and he just it all came out, right? I mean, he was struggling, and I won't go into all the details with that, but just to be able to stop and pray for him, right? And after that, he hugged and he left, and I don't know if they ever saw him again, but. If there's anything that there is a picture of what church is that it is both a celebration. It's one that says there's something that we share together. There's true koinonia, true fellowship with one another that is so alien from the world that the world does not understand. But yet at the same time, the door is always open. There is an invitation that looks out into the world and says that there is something going on here that we would like for you to participate in. And your joy will not be complete until and unless we recognize who we truly are and until and unless we recognize who truly Jesus is. Fellowship is a declaration, it's a celebration, an invitation. You know, as we come together to the Lord's table even this evening, that's exactly what it is. It's a declaration, it's a celebration, and it's an invitation for all of us, because all of us are declaring who Jesus is. We are celebrating in this meal together, and it's an invitation. It's an invitation for all those who would recognize that we are truly sinners in need of cleansing, and we're invited. Let's pray. Father, we we thank you again, Lord, for your word. And we thank you again, Lord, for what we truly have. That fellowship is a weighty word in the best possible way. That's something different, that's something unique, Lord, that you allow us to share in and participate in. And you said, "This is what I want." Father, I pray that we would not take it for granted, that it would not just be about us, but that we truly are saying to one another, even in this place, even here tonight, that my joy is not complete until it is one that I share with you. I pray, God, that you would just help us to just rest in that and celebrate in that. And we thank you for your invitation to come to you even now as we prepare to come to your table. We thank you for your goodness and your grace to us in Christ. In his name that we pray.